You donning the guise of a friend is quite the heartwarming sight, especially in light of the fact you thought I was trying to poison you. Well, what else was I supposed to think, especially after last week's incident with the tea? I suppose you were sick that day, too. The handmaiden sighed again. Despina, Sherzad said. Who is the father? Now that question I won't answer. What? Why not? Because you share a bed with the Caliph of Khorasan. Ah, the web of secrets grows thicker every day, Sherzad retorted. So is he the father? No. Then why does that matter? Despina sat back on her heels. Because I can't trust that you won't tell him. What? I don't tell him anything. You don't need to. Your eyes search for him the moment they leave this room. They do not, Sherzad screeched. By Zeus, my ears! Despina clutched the side of her head. Don't yell, I beg of you! I won't tell Khalid, I swear. Khalid? The edges of Despina's lips curved upward. I know you're tenacious in your endeavors, brat Khalifa. But I would give up on this one. You're bound to be disappointed when your attempts at persuasion prove futile on me. Sherzad frowned. After all, I am not the King of Kings. Enough, Sherzad flushed. Tell me who it is. I'm very sorry, Sherzad, but I am not telling you. I simply can't. You can't? Sherzad mulled over the word. Then he must be someone of import. Don't push the matter. Despina's voice was tight. I wonder... Sherzad disregarded Despina's look of warning and drummed her fingers along her chin. It can't be the Rajput or any of the other palace guards. There would be no reason for someone as bold as you to conceal that. Sherzad... So? Sherzad continued. It must be either the Sharban of Rey, which is preposterous, or... Her expression smoothed in sudden understanding. Jalal! Despina burst into laughter. The captain of the guard? Even I'm not that bold. What makes you... Actually, you are that bold. Sherzad pushed back the tray of food and rested her elbows on the beveled ledge of the low table. And this explains your odd behavior whenever you're around him. You're being ridiculous. Despina laughed again, the sound trilling even higher, her eyes burning with a blue light. Sherzad grinned slowly. I know I'm right. Despina glowered at her in sullen silence. You needn't worry, Sherzad propped her chin on the heel of her palm. Your secret is safe. You can trust me. Trust you? Despina sputtered. I'd sooner trust a sieve. That's rather unfair. Is it? You don't trust me. Of course I don't trust you. You're a self-admitted spy, and I've nearly died twice on your watch. Sherzad stared at her pointedly. Despina blinked. Don't be dramatic. Dramatic? Need I remind you about the tea? You still think that was me? Then who was it? Sherzad demanded. If you want me to trust you, tell me who is responsible. It wasn't the Caliph, if that's why you're asking. He was quite furious when he found out about it. Was it the Sharban? Despina said nothing, but failed to conceal a cringe of affirmation. I'm not surprised, Sherzad continued. I suspected as much. Did you? Perhaps you should be the spy and I the Khalifa. Perhaps, but I believe your pregnancy by another man may present a hindrance to that, Sherzad said in a droll tone. Does Jalal know about the baby? If so, he should marry you or face my fury. The choice is his. He doesn't know, and I don't intend to tell him. Despina stood up and straightened the folds of her dress. Because I don't think he needs to know. Well, that is simply ridiculous. Despina hooked a strand of golden brown hair behind an ear. Maybe it is, but for now I choose to believe it is not." Sherzad watched in pained silence while her handmaiden began cleaning up the mess as if nothing had occurred, as if a world of chaos had not been unleashed only moments before. Like a canary in a gilded cage, Despina flitted about, stunning and resilient. Trapped. "You should rest," Sherzad directed. Despina faltered mid-step. "What?" "You're pregnant. You don't have to hide it from me anymore. Sit, rest." Despina's eyes swam crystalline for an instant before they flashed back to blue. "I don't need to rest."
"I insist."
"Truly, it's not..." "Rest this morning. I'll go with the Rajput to practice shooting in the training grounds. Come there when you feel better." Sherzad began preparing a cup of tea. "Do you think some tea would help your stomach?"
"I can make the tea," Despina whispered.
"So can I." Despina paused, staring down at the figure of the small girl with a long mane of sleep-rifled hair.
"Sherzad?"
"Yes."
"You are not at all what one would expect."
"Is that supposed to be a compliment?" Sherzad grinned over her shoulder.
"Absolutely. I think it's kept you alive."
"Then I'm very grateful for it."
"As am I," Despina smiled. "Most grateful."
A wild cheer rang out from the sidelines as the arrow struck the eave on the opposite side of the courtyard with a solid thud. The shouts of the soldiers rolled into a chorus of laughter that rose into a cloud-filled sky. A sky tinged with the scent of impending rain. Sherzad smiled at Jalal. His shoulders shook with soundless mirth. He ran his free hand through his curly brown hair and shrugged at his men. "You cannot dispute that, Captain Al-Hori," Sherzad announced.
"Indeed, I cannot, my lady."
He bowed, his fingertips to his forehead. "Your arrow struck the target. Mine did not. Name your price." Sherzad thought for a moment. Her question had to be a good one. It had to be worth discarding any attempt to conceal her skill with a bow. It also had to be worded in a judicious manner. He was gifted at deflecting responses and offering eloquent non-answers. "Why are you permitted to call the Caliph by his first name?" Jalal shifted the yew of his long bow from palm to palm. Ever careful, ever calculating. "Khalid is my cousin. My father married his father's sister." Sherzad had difficulty suppressing her reaction. This was the most information she had obtained the entire morning. Jalal grinned with a dangerous gleam in his light brown gaze. "Choose the next target, Sherzad." She scanned the courtyard. "The topmost branch of the tree to the right, beyond the roofline." He wagged his eyebrows, appreciating the challenge, as he pulled an arrow from his quiver and knocked it to the string. When he drew it back, the edges of the unyielding longbow barely shifted. Jalal was an excellent archer. Not as gifted as Tariq, but precise and sharp in his movements. He loosed the arrow. It flew in a spiral and sailed above the roofline before it struck the topmost branch, causing the entire tree to shudder from the force of its impact. The men began to cheer in approval. Sherzad fitted an arrow to the recurve bow. She closed her eyes as she knocked it tight against the sinew. Exhaling, she pulled the arrow back. The instant she opened her eyes, she released the string. The arrow soared through the air, whistling past the branches, embedding just below her intended target. Sherzad frowned. The soldiers raised another cry of triumph. Again, Jalal bowed, this time with his hands outstretched at his sides. "Oh, don't gloat," Sherzad scolded. "It's quite unbecoming."
"I have never gloated. Not a day in my life."
"I find that rather difficult to believe."
"Gloating is for weaker men."
"Then stop smiling like such a fool." Jalal laughed, raising his arms to the sky.
"But it's going to rain, Sherzad, and I'm a fool for the rain."
"Just collect your prize, Captain Al-Hori," Sherzad grumbled, folding her arms across her chest.
letting her recurve bow dangle by her feet. "Don't be so frustrated with me. I've been quite fair in my questions." She rolled her eyes. "In fact," he continued, "this will be my first truly unfair question of the day." Shahrazad's posture reacted to his words before her features did. Jalal took a step forward, balancing his longbow across his shoulders. "Where is your family, my lady?" he said in a low voice. "They're looking for my family, as I expected." She smiled up at him. "Safe. That's not an answer. In a place of sand and stone. That's also not an answer. Everything is made of sand and stone. You cannot force a better answer out of me, Jalal. These are my answers. If you dislike them, we can cease with our game." His eyes moved across her face with an odd mixture of ready discernment and playful diversion. Yet in that instant, she saw more of his father in him than she had ever seen thus far, and she understood. This was not merely his occupation. Jalal al-Hori was protecting his family. To him, family always came first, and she was not family. "No," he countered, "but I would like to ask another question in lieu of the last. Since your answer was quite unsatisfactory, I feel it only appropriate I be permitted another question." "Excuse me?" "I promise to grant you the same right, should the occasion arise on your end. Jalal, why do you always close your eyes before you aim?"
"Because..." Shahrazad hesitated. "I..."
"What is the harm?"
"I learned to shoot in a place where the sun played tricks on the mind. You could not rely on it if you wanted to aim well, so you had to practice until you were good enough that you only needed its light for the blink of an eye."
Jalal braced both palms on the yew of his longbow. A slow grin spread across his sun-drenched face. It unnerved Shahrazad and made her want to provoke him.
"That was much better," he said loudly. "You know, not everything has to be so difficult, Shahrazad."
"What are you talking about?"
"Exactly what I said. Next time, just answer the question."
"We shall see. Choose the next target, Jalal." His grin grew even wider.
"Yes, my lady."
He studied the courtyard. Then he pointed to a slender pillar with a Tabarzin axe embedded in its side. "The winner is the archer with the arrow closest to the axe blade." It was by far the most difficult shot. The Tabarzin's wooden handle was quite narrow by the blade, and it was wedged into the pillar at an odd angle that all but obscured it from view. To make matters worse, the impending storm had now added a wind factor that would put to rout even the most gifted of archers. As the winner of the last match, Jalal was given the first shot. He waited for the gusts to calm as much as possible before he positioned the arrow to the string and let it fly. It spiraled toward the Tabarzin and managed to strike the wood of the handle. An impressive achievement. Shahrazad pulled an arrow from the quiver at her back. She fitted it to the sinew and knocked it tight. Closing her eyes, she let the breeze blow against her face, calculating its trajectory. Her fingers curled around the white feathered fletchings. She opened her eyes and pinpointed the small stretch of wood fixed before the gleaming axe blade. Then she loosed the arrow. It sailed through the wind, over the sand, and thudded into the handle, a mere hair's breadth from the metal. The soldiers shouted in collective disbelief. Jalal began laughing. "My God, perhaps I should try my hand at not aiming." Shahrazad mimicked his previous bow, her arms outstretched at her sides. His laughter grew.
"Well, you've earned this next question, my lady. Do your worst."
"Yes, I believe I will. It's time I learned the truth." She strode forward. "What is the real reason all of Khalid's brides must die?" It was posited in a ghost of a whisper. Only Jalal could have heard it. but it was as though she had shouted it from the rooftops. Jalal's amusement vanished, doused by an urgent gravity she had never seen on his face before. This game is over. Sherazad pursed her lips. Why is it you get to decide the rules on all fronts? It's over, Sherazad, he said, confiscating the recurve bow from her grasp. At least give me the right to ask another question. No. You promised me that right. I'm sorry, but I cannot honor that promise. Excuse me? I'm sorry. He stalked to the weapons rack and restored both the longbow and the recurve bow to their respective places. Jalal, Sherazad raced in his footsteps. You can't... He nodded to the Rajput, who began making his way over to Sherazad. Outraged, Sherazad snatched a scimitar from a nearby weapons rack. Jalal al-Khori! When he still refused to acknowledge her, Sherazad raised the sword into the light with both hands, and the Rajput shifted closer. How dare you dismiss me, you horse's ass! She yelled. At that, Jalal turned around, his stride off-kilter. She swung the heavy blade in a sloppy arc meant to goad him into taking her seriously. He dodged her and reached reflexively for the scimitar at his hip. What the hell are you doing, Sherazad? Do you think you can get away with treating me in such a manner? Put down the sword, he said in an uncharacteristically stern tone. No. You have no business handling a blade like that. Put it down. No. When she swung it again in another haphazard slice, Jalal was forced to deflect it with his own blade. The Rajput grunted loudly and withdrew his talwar, shoving Jalal away from her with a single push of his palm. Stop it, Sherazad said to the Rajput. I don't need your help. The Rajput sneered down at her with obvious disdain. Is he laughing at me? Sherazad asked incredulously. I imagine so, Jalal replied. Unbelievable. What's funny? I would assume it's both the sight of you wielding a sword in such an abysmal manner and the presumption you wouldn't need his help when doing so. Sherazad spun to face the Rajput. Well, sir, if you're really in the business of helping me, then instead of laughing at my ineptitude, do something about it. The Rajput merely continued sneering at her. He's not going to help you, Sherazad, Jalal said, seamlessly resurrecting his smug facade. I'd venture a guess that not many soldiers out here, save myself, would take the risk of getting within an arm's length of you. And why is that? Well, by now every soldier in Rey knows what happened to the last guard who dared to put his hands on the Queen. So if I were you, I'd give up on cajoling the Rajput into giving you lessons on swordplay, even though you did ask him so nicely. Jalal joked dryly. Sherazad frowned. What happened to the guard? Jalal shrugged. A bevy of broken bones. Your husband is not a forgiving man. Wonderful, yet another attribute of note. So please put down the sword and go back to the palace, my lady. Jalal finished in a firm tone. Don't you dare dismiss me, Jalal. And Sherazad's rant died on her lips before it even started. She wanted to turn around, because she knew instinctively that he was there. There was no logical explanation for it, but she felt his presence behind her, like the subtle change in the seasons, a shift in the wind. This was not necessarily a welcome change. She did not suffer that kind of delusion. Not yet. But even the moment when the leaves fall from their boughs, even that moment has a beauty to it, a glory of its own. And this change made her shoulders tense and her stomach spin. It was real and terrifying. This moment could not be any more perfect, Jalal muttered, glancing to his left. Still, Sherazad did not turn around. She clenched the scimitar tight in both hands, and the Rajput stepped even closer, his talwar glinting with a silent warning. By Zeus, Sherazad, Despina cried. Is this what happens when I leave you alone? You get into a sword fight with the captain of the guard? At that, Sherazad twisted her head to the right. Despina stood by Khalid with a look of worry and dismay on her pretty face. Khalid was as inscrutable as ever. As cold as always. Sherazad wished she could end it here and now with the slash of a sword. She wished she could grab Khalid by the shoulders and shake a semblance of life onto his frozen countenance. Instead, Sherazad continued with the pretense, the one she gave to the world, and the one she gave to herself. "Well?" Despina said. Khalid's eyes flicked to the handmaiden. "I apologize, Sayyidi. I did not mean to address the queen so informally." Despina bowed in haste, her hand to her brow. "You don't have to apologize, Despina. I did not get into a fight with Jalal. We're merely trading a few lessons. Apparently, I am not that gifted with a sword. There are, in fact, limitations to my greatness," Sherazad jested. "Thank the gods," Despina mumbled. "Limitations plague us all, Sherazad," Jalal grinned, seizing upon this opportunity for levity. "Don't take it to heart." She wrinkled her nose at him, plunking the scimitar to the ground. "What limitations?" Khalid asked quietly. The sound of his voice slid down her back, bringing to mind cool water and sun-warmed honey. She gritted her teeth. "For one, I can't seem to wield a sword, and that seems to be a basic premise of swordsmanship." Khalid watched her as she spoke. "Pick it up," he directed. Sherazad looked at him. He blinked, and his features softened. She raised the scimitar in both hands. Then, to her surprise, Khalid backed away and unsheathed his shamshir. "Try to hit me," he said. "Are you serious?" He waited in patient silence. She swung the sword in a clumsy swipe. Khalid parried it with ease and grabbed her wrist. "That was awful," he said, pulling her into him. "Again." "Can you offer some direction?" she demanded. "Widen your stance. Don't throw your entire body into the movement. Only your upper body." She sunk into a lower stance, her brow lined with irritation. Once more, she curved the scimitar at him, and he blocked it, grasping her by the waist and bringing the flat of the shamshir against her throat. In her ear, he whispered, "Do better than this, Shazi. My queen is without limitations, boundless in all that she does. Show them." Her pulse raced at his warmth, in the words and the actions, the nearness of him. She broke away and raised the scimitar. "Smaller movements, quicker, lighter," Khalid commanded. "I don't want to see you act before you do." Sherazad lashed out with the sword. Khalid parried the blow. The Rajput grunted, crossing his mammoth arms. After Sherazad cut the scimitar in Khalid's direction a few more times, she was shocked when the Rajput stepped forward and kicked at her back foot, nudging it into a new alignment. Then he lifted his bearded chin with a jerk. "He wants me to keep my head up?" Khalid stood by, watching. "Like this?" Sherazad asked the Rajput. He cleared his throat and moved back. When Sherazad looked at Khalid again, his eyes were alight with an emotion she recognized. Pride. And the moment felt so terrifyingly real that the thought of anything destroying it cinched the air from her body, like a silk cord around her neck. To inflict a dark wound. Sherazad picked up the vial of scented rose water and pulled out the glass stopper. The perfume smelled heady and sweet, like a bouquet of aging blossoms alongside a vat of slowly melting sugar. Intoxicating and mysterious. Perhaps too much so. It didn't smell like her. She sighed and put down the vial. Following her impromptu sword lesson, Sherazad and Despina had returned to her chamber for dinner. Then her handmaiden had retired to her small room by Sherazad's chamber, mistakenly leaving behind a few cosmetics near the mirror in the corner. Shahrazad had wandered past this arrangement several times over the course of the last few hours, considering. Situated by the vial was a tiny pot of polished ivory. Shahrazad twisted open the lid to discover a mixture of carmine and beeswax. She dipped her index finger into the shining paste and daubed it onto her lower lip. It felt sticky and strange on her skin as she attempted to mimic the alluring pout she always admired on her handmaiden. She stared back at her reflection. I look ridiculous. Shahrazad rubbed away the stickiness with her palm. It stained her hand pink. What am I doing? She paced toward the raised platform of her bed. None of this was right. She was not here to spend time troubling about her appearance. Such childishness was beneath her. She had come to the palace with a single-minded purpose, to discover her enemy's weakness and destroy him with it. How could she lose sight of everything over a mere kiss, over a mere moment in a dark alley by the souk? A moment that replayed in her mind with staggering frequency. Shahrazad inhaled and tightened the silver laces of her shamla. She could not, would not, stray from her purpose. How had this even happened? It's because he's not the monster I thought he was. There was so much more below the surface, and she had to know what lay at the root of it all. Why did General Al-Khoury try to poison her? And why did Shiva have to die? Shahrazad no longer believed the tales running through the streets of Rey. Khalid ibn al-Rashid was not a madman from a line of murdering madmen hell-bent on senseless brutality. He was a boy with secrets. Secrets Shahrazad had to know. It was no longer enough for her to stand at his side and play along with the dance of ice and stone, to watch him fade into the distance, barricaded in a room no one was permitted to enter. She was going to break down the door and steal all of his secrets. Shahrazad walked to the pile of cushions on top of her bed and coiled into its center. The least she could do was pretend she was not waiting for him, that she was worthy of better. Did she really care about him? For this acknowledgement would mean giving teeth to the most dangerous realization of all. Caring about him meant he had real power over her, that he held sway over her heart. Shahrazad sighed, hating her weak heart more with each passing breath. If she had to fail so abominably in her task at the souk, then at the very least her heart should not have been so complicit in her failure. Where was the resolute, steel-encased enclosure she had constructed for herself not so long ago? Her mind drifted back to the night before the soldiers had come for Shiva. They had stayed up together, just the two of them, huddled in the blue darkness with a single candle. Instead of crying over what would never be, or wailing to the stars for what was to come, Shiva had insisted they laugh for what they still had. So they'd sat in her courtyard under a slivered moon, giggling at years of shared memories. This is what Shahrazad had done for Shiva, what Shiva had done for Shahrazad. That morning, when Shahrazad had left her so that Shiva could spend her last day with her family, Shiva had smiled at Shahrazad and said, with a simple hug, "I will see you one day, my dearest love, and we will smile and laugh again." Such strength for such betrayal. Shahrazad seized a pillow and curled her fists into the silk. "Shiva, what do I do? I can't find the hate anymore. Help me find it. When I see his face, when I hear his voice, how can I do this to you? How can I love you so much?" And the doors to the chamber opened with a creak. Shahrazad sat up, expecting to see the usual servants with their nightly wares. Khalid stood at the threshold, alone. "Were you sleeping?" he asked. "No." He stepped inside and pulled the doors shut behind him. "Are you tired?" No. Sherzad's fingers tightened against the silk. He remained by the doors. She rose from the cushions and straightened her shamla. It spun about her as she moved past the gossamer veil at the foot of the bed. Do you want me to finish the tale of Aladdin? No. Khalid strode from the doors to stand before her. He looked exhausted. Did you not sleep? She asked. You should sleep.
I should.
The air between them swirled with the intensity of the unsaid.
Khalid.
It rained today.
Yes, for a little while.
He nodded, his amber eyes catching fire on a thought. Sherzad blinked.
Are you a fool for the rain like Jalal?
No, I'm just a fool.
Why? Tell me why.
She lifted her right hand slowly to his face. He closed his eyes. When he opened them again, he placed his palms on either side of her neck. How could a boy with legions of secrets behind walls of ice and stone burn her with nothing more than his touch? He trailed his right hand through her hair, over her shoulder, and down her back. His left thumb lingered on her neck, brushing across the hollow at its base.
I won't stop fighting, Shiva. I will discover the truth and seek justice for you.
She stared up at Khalid, waiting.
What are you doing? She whispered.
Exercising restraint.
Why?
Because I fail to do so in the Sukh.
Does that matter?
Yes, it does, he said quietly.
Do you want this?
Sherzad paused.
We've done this before.
It's not the same.
It won't be the same.
The blood flew through her body, ignited by his words. He pressed his lips beneath her earlobe. His tongue lingered for an instant on her skin.
Do you want this?
He repeated in her ear. Sherzad steeled herself, fighting back an onset of trembling limbs.
Why do you think I'm standing here, you idiot?
Then she seized his chin in her hands and slanted her mouth to his. What began as a playful kiss soon changed into something more in keeping with the prurient thoughts that had filled the space only moments before. Sherzad's fingers curled into Khalid's soft hair as his lips curved over hers. He enveloped her in an embrace that took her bare feet from the marble. The veil tore from its mooring as they fell back onto the cushions with complete disregard for such trappings as gossamer. Her hands dragged the hem of his kameez over his head. The muscles of his torso coiled at her touch. And the air in the room grew ever more stifling, ever more tangible. When his lips moved to her neck, and his palms slid across her stomach, to the laces of her shamla, she knew he was right. This would not be the same. For this was untrammeled need. This was a body of water and a soul of ash. The laces of her shamla were free. If this progressed much further, it would be pointless to even consider such a thing as thought. She had to ask now, before the flames consumed her.
Tell me, she gasped, her fingers gripping his shoulders. Anything.
Her heart soared, and the guilt clutched at it.
Why did they have to die?
He stilled in her arms for an interminable beat. Then Khalid lifted himself from her and stared down at Sherzad. His face frozen in horror. He saw the conflict in her eyes. She saw the terror in his. Without a word, he rose from the bed and made his way to the doors. As his fingers grasped the handle, he paused.
Never do that to me again.
It was low and harsh, filled with unmitigated pain. He slammed the door shut behind him. The deprivation of him was palpable. A part of her almost reveled in it, the reminder that this was all a result of vast suffering at his hands. The other part longed to chase after him, for she knew it was possible to conquer him if she did. Shahrazad buried her face in the cushions and began to sob. At last, she had discovered a real weakness. It was her. And I will use it. I will find out why Shiva had to die, even if it kills me. The corridors of Talakan were as silent as the grave, as dark as the most sinister of intentions. Jahandar climbed the stairs, clutching the bundle in his left arm tight. The torch in his right hand wavered with every cautious step, casting shadows along the uneven stone walls. His heart pounding, he pushed the wooden door to his room ajar and leaned into it until it shuddered closed with an echoing thud. When he was certain no one had heard him moving about, he breathed a sigh of relief before setting the bundle atop his desk and barring the door. Then he removed the dagger from beneath his cloak. It was a simple blade, insignificant at first glance, a wooden handle with commonplace carvings, slightly hooked and forged of dark iron. Quite unremarkable, really. Jahandar closed his eyes and clenched the dagger in his palm. It was time. After more than 2 weeks of painstaking study and tedious translation, the moment was upon him. Tonight, he would learn if the book had chosen him. Tonight, he would discover if he was worthy of its power. Again, he walked to the bundle on his desk. He unwrapped the linen. Nestled in its center was a sleeping hare of soft tan fur. His first test. Jahandar swallowed. He did not want the creature to suffer. It seemed wholly unfair to take the life of such a helpless thing in such a gruesome manner. But it could not be helped. He had to do what was necessary. For his children. For himself. He raised the dagger in his right hand and drew it across his left palm in a single quick motion. A line of blood appeared in its wake. He dripped the crimson liquid onto the dark blade. As soon as his blood coated the dagger's edge, the metal began to glow, a white-hot blue. Jahandar's eyes gleamed. Now the cycle had to be completed. He inhaled through his nose, silently beseeching the sleeping hare for forgiveness. Then he drew the luminous blade across its throat. Jahandar watched the small creature's bright blood spill onto the dagger, and the metal turned from a glowing blue to a fiery red. The magic rose from the blade into the air, filling the chamber with an eerie rubicund light. Finally, he touched the dagger to his palm. Power flowed into the open wound, raw and frightening. It seared as it pummeled through his body, heating him to his very bones. His eyes flashed once, and the dark blade fell to the floor. When his vision cleared, everything around him appeared sharper than before. The fatigue of only a moment ago was but a distant memory. He stood taller, breathed deeper, felt invincible. He bent to the floor and retrieved the dagger, wiping its surface on the bundle of linen next to the motionless body of the tiny hare. Jahandar paused in thought. Then he waved his hand over the bloody carcass, and it disappeared in a burst of cool light. A brutal truth. Shahrazad did not sleep well that night. Her dreams were filled with visions of Shiva's smiling face and the sound of doors slamming shut in a black void. Voices filled with pain and betrayal echoed in her ears. Once she pried open her eyes to the morning light, she rolled over and shoved her face into a cushion, feeling the bitter exhaustion settle between her shoulders. Despina's merry laughter lilted around her, clear as a bell and just as annoying. Shahrazad groaned. "Do you want to sleep more?" "No," Shahrazad said into her pillow. "That won't help." "Are you sure? Because it looks as though you had a rather unrestrained evening." "What?" Shahrazad lifted her head from the silk in confusion. Despina's highly amused gaze was fixed on the gossamer veil torn from its mooring, lying in a forgotten pile beside the platform. A flush bloomed on Shahrazad's cheeks.
"Well done," Despina teased. "It's not what it looks like."
"Are you quite certain? Because if the chemise on your bed belongs to another man, you have just become even more interesting than you already were."
"That's enough, Despina."
Shahrazad's voice was filled with warning. Despina stood akimbo, her perfect eyebrows high on her forehead. "What happened?"
"Nothing."
"I'm sorry, but this situation and that response do not follow." Collecting the folds of her skirt in one hand, Despina marched to the platform and plopped onto the edge of the bed.
"What's wrong? Tell me."
Shahrazad sighed at her handmaiden's cursed persistence.
"Everything."
"Can you be more specific? After all, secrets are infinitely more useful when they're shared," Despina said in a teasing tone.
"Tell that to Khalid," Shahrazad grumbled.
"As his supposed spy, he might actually listen to you." Despina's expression softened in understanding. "The Caliph of Khorasan hasn't listened to anyone for a very long time."
"Nor will he be likely to, not after last night."
Despina kicked off her sandals and sat cross-legged on the bed.
"We women are a sad lot, aren't we?"
"What do you mean?"
"Strong enough to take on the world with our bare hands, yet we permit ridiculous boys to make fools of us."
"I am not a fool."
"No, you're not. Not yet," Despina grinned. "But it's inevitable. When you meet the one who makes you smile as you've never smiled before, cry as you've never cried before, there is nothing to do but fall."
"I..." Shahrazad chewed on her lower lip.
"You can speak freely, Shahrazad. What you say will not pass these walls."
Shahrazad remained silent. Despina edged closer.
"When I was a little girl in Thebes, I remember asking my mother what heaven was. She replied, 'A heart where love dwells.' Of course, I then demanded to know what constituted hell. She looked me straight in the eye and said, 'A heart absent love.'"
Despina studied Shahrazad as she spoke. Shahrazad returned Despina's scrutiny while toying with the silver laces of her shamla.
"Your mother sounds quite wise."
"She was." Shahrazad chose her next words with care.
"May I ask what happened to her?"
"She fell in love with the wrong man. He promised her the world and then left her with nothing but the child in her belly."
"I'm truly sorry, Despina."
"I'm not. She died young, but she died happy, and a man like that is incapable of making a woman happy. Rich men don't know how to sacrifice for love, because they've never had to."
Despina's last statement was marked in its harshness.
"Is that it?" Shahrazad said gently. "Are you worried Jalal will do the same?"
"I don't know. He's unfailingly loyal to his family, but I have yet to see him espouse such loyalty to the many young women who have lost their hearts to him."
Despina's blue eyes tightened at the corners.
"I've always believed a man is what he does, not what others say. But Jalal al-Hori does very little to refute what others say."
"Such behavior appears to be a family trait."
"Yes, it does."
"I don't..." Shahrazad caught herself before turning a pleading eye to her handmaiden.
"Do you know, Despina? If you do, please tell me. Why is Khalid killing all of his brides?"
Despina stared down at the discarded skein of spider silk by the bed.
"I don't know."
"Then what do you know? Please tell me."
"I've lived in this palace for 6 years, and I've always found Khalid ibn al-Rashid quite aloof, yet strangely honorable. Until the events of these past few months, he has never given me occasion to question his character."
"But how can you continue to serve a king who kills young women without explanation?"
"I came to this kingdom as a slave. I don't have the luxury of choosing whom I serve," Despina retorted dryly.
The Caliph of Khorasan may very well be a monster, but to me he's always been a troubled king with good intentions.
Good intentions? Sherzad spat. Tell that to the families of the girls he murdered. Tell that to those who loved them.
Despina flinched, and Sherzad looked away, rising from the bed in a rush to conceal her pain.
Sherzad, leave me alone.
Despina grabbed her wrist. If you care about him at...
I don't.
Stop lying, you miserable brat.
Sherzad wrenched her arm free, glaring at Despina before turning to leave in a swirl of lustrous brocade.
You care about him, Despina insisted, and since secrets matter so much to you, I'll divulge one.
Sherzad halted in her tracks.
You are safe, Sherzad el-Khizran. Nothing will happen to you, for I have it on high authority that any attempt to harm you will be treated as a direct attempt on the life of our king.
Sherzad's stomach clenched.
Do you understand, brat Khalifa? Despina continued.
Sherzad glanced over her shoulder at her handmaiden, in stalwart silence.
Despina sighed. On pain of death, you are as important to him as his own life.
Lilacs and a Raging Sandstorm. Jalal slid the report across the table and drummed his fingers against the edge of the stained wood.
Do you have some place you need to be, Captain Al-Khoury?
Khali did not look up from his work.
No, not at the moment.
Jalal continued tapping his right hand on the carved mahogany, staring intently at Khalid's face.
It appears... I wish you would confide in me, Khalid.
Khalid's gaze flickered to Jalal, giving away less than nothing.
And what brought on this sudden desire for closeness?
It rained yesterday. You must have a great deal on your mind.
Khalid studied Jalal with deliberate composure.
There is usually a great deal on my mind.
And what of the rain?
Khalid put down the scroll in his hand.
Rain is merely one element of a storm, generally a hint of things to come.
As always, you are the perfect portrait of bleak.
As always, you are the perfect portrait of nothing.
Jalal smiled in a slow arc.
Regarding Sherzad, I am not discussing Sherzad with you.
The tiger eyes fired once in an otherwise cool countenance.
She must have rattled you last night with a vengeance. Well done, my lady.
That's enough, Jalal.
Don't be unduly vexed, cousin. It rained yesterday. You don't have to feel guilty anymore on top of everything else. The people of Rey are not suffering unnecessarily on your account. Or Sherzad's, for that matter.
Enough!
At that, all traces of Jalal's smugness vanished.
Lines of consternation appeared across his forehead.
See? I wish you would confide in me. You are clearly troubled, perhaps even afraid. Do not live in fear, Khalid Jan, for that is not a life.
I am not afraid. I am tired, and you are presumptuous. There is quite a difference.
Khalid turned back to the stack of scrolls before him.
It appears the riots in the city square have completely ceased.
Of course they've ceased. We are no longer executing their daughters without explanation, Jalal muttered offhand.
When Khalid failed to respond, Jalal glanced over and saw Khalid glaring at him, with his left hand clenched in a white-knuckled fist.
Must you always be such an unapologetic bastard?
Khalid exacted in a deathly whisper.
Be fair. I'm only like that when it suits a purpose. I have been known to apologize when the situation warrants it.
I doubt you grasp the notion.
You are not the only one who suffers in this. Admittedly, you bear the brunt, but you are not alone. And you take on far more than necessary. Let me help. I would gladly assume some of your burden. That is what I've been trying to tell you.
Khalid shoved aside the scrolls and strode to the window to his right. A marbled arch framed a midday sky above.
In the garden below, lilacs bloomed, and their clean scent mingled on the breeze, blowing back into the alcove, rustling the pages strewn on his desk, taunting him. He shuddered his gaze. The sight of shining black tresses across jewel-toned silk and half-lidded hazel eyes flashed back at him. Khalid latched the screens shut, but the aroma of the pale purple blossoms lingered, much to his chagrin. Jalal took note of Khalid's irritation. "So you have an aversion to sunlight and flowers now?" "Just that particular flower." "And what has that flower done to you?" Khalid remained resolutely silent, and Jalal's eyes widened in understanding. "Tell the gardeners to remove it," Jalal suggested after a time, leaning back against the cushions. "No." Smiling to himself, Jalal laced his fingers across his stomach and stared at the mosaiced alcove above. "Khalid, are you still here? I'm waiting for you to confide in me." Khalid twisted his head to Jalal and expelled a frustrated breath. "I can wait all day. As you so cheerfully noted, the city riots have ceased, for the time being." Jalal crossed his feet at the ankles. "Fine, I'll leave." Khalid walked to the doors and thrust them aside. Jalal followed in his footsteps, like a shadow with a dubious agenda. When Jalal began whistling to the domed ceiling of blue-veined agate, the muscles in Khalid's jaw flexed. "We're blood, Saidi. I am every bit as stubborn as you. It would behoove you to confide in me, because sooner or later you'll feel compelled to rid yourself of my enduring nuisance." After they strode a few more paces down the polished corridors, Khalid glanced at Jalal. "Salim wishes to visit Ray on his way back to Amarda in 2 weeks' time." Jalal froze mid-step. "That Jakesh?" He swore. "Why?" "It should be obvious. To you. Would you care to elaborate?" "Sherzad." Jalal paused and then laughed with palpable scorn. "Of course, the Jakesh of Parthia wants to meet Khorasan's new Khalifa. And he will undoubtedly bring Yasmin." "Merkbar Salim Ali el-Sharif." Jalal drew his index finger across his throat as a warning to their impending guest. "What are you going to do?" "Your father thinks I should send Sherzad away while Salim is here." Jalal snorted. "You disagree?" Khalid asked. "Yes, very much." Khalid stopped walking. "Why?" Jalal swiveled to face him. "Because if the Jakesh wants to see the future of Khorasan, I can think of nothing better than the sight of you with Sherzad al-Khaizuran, the strength she instills in you, the utter rightness of it all." Khalid studied Jalal's fiery expression. "You seem quite convinced." "I am, as you should be, Saidi. Trust me, and trust in this." "In the rightness of it all?" A look of acerbic amusement settled across Khalid's face. "Yes, in her and in you." "Two rather unreliable people, Jalal." "I disagree. Sherzad is a remarkably reliable girl. Brash and unpredictable, yes, but steadfast in her convictions. It's true you are taxing and rather bleak, but you've always been reliably so." Jalal grinned. "So you would have me throw Shazi to the wolves?" "Shazi?" Jalal's grin widened. "Honestly, I pity the wolves." "Be serious for once." "I am. In fact, I would take the enterprise a step further. Invite all your bannermen to Ray, every last emir. Let them see that you are not your father. You are not the rumors that have been plaguing you of late. You are a king worthy of their allegiance, with a queen full of fire and promise." The edges of Khalid's mouth turned upward, ever so slightly. "My God, are you smiling, Khalid John?" Jalal teased in an incredulous voice. "Perhaps." The two young men continued making their way down the hallways until they passed into the main corridor, where they were joined by Khalid's normal retinue of bodyguards. As they entered the open-air gallery, Khalid stopped short, his features darkening at the prospect before him. Sherzad was crossing toward the series of double doors leading to the gardens, with Despina at her side and the Rajput trailing behind her. When she saw Khalid, she paused and pivoted on her slippered heel, gliding in his direction. She captivated him in the way she always did, with unguarded beauty and unassuming grace. Her hair rippled behind her in shimmering waves of ebony, and her pointed chin was turned high and proud in the rays of sun streaming from above. The light gold of her mantle cloaked the deep emerald of the silk beneath it. Woven into the myriad colors of her eyes, Khalid saw the same mixture of reticence and defiance as always. But now there was something else, a new emotion he could not place. She wrinkled her nose at the Rajput's looming presence, and the power behind the simple gesture pulled Khalid to her side, like sweet wine and the sound of bright laughter. As she drew closer, the memory of last night washed over him. The feel of her in his arms, the scent of lilac in her hair. The futility of all else, save his lips against hers. Of his will crumbling. Tell me. Anything. She opened her mouth to say something, a strangely uncertain look, marring her lovely features. And Khalid blew past her, without a glance in her direction. Jalal followed him wordlessly. Once they were out of earshot, he grabbed his cousin's shoulder. What are you doing? Khalid knocked his hand aside. Khalid! His gaze mutinous, Khalid continued striding down the corridor. Are you a fool? Jalal persisted. Did you not see her face? You wounded her. Khalid whirled around, seizing the front of Jalal's kameez. I told you once, Captain Al-Khoury, I will not discuss Sherzad with you. To hell with that, Saidi. If you continue down this path, there won't be much to discuss. Have you not learned your lesson yet, cousin? Jalal bent toward Khalid, his brown eyes harboring a cold fury. Was Ava not enough? He whispered in a cruel tone. At that, Khalid shoved Jalal back and punched him once in the jaw. His bodyguard scrambled to Khalid's side as Jalal slid across the marble floor and wiped at his bloodied lower lip before sneering up at his king. Get out of my sight, Jalal, Khalid seethed. Such a wizened old man in so many ways, and such a little boy in so many others. You know nothing about me. I know very little, and I still know more than you, Khalid John. I know love is fragile. And loving someone like you is near impossible, like holding something shattered through a raging sandstorm. If you want her to love you, shelter her from that storm. Jalal rose to his feet, straightening the insignia of the royal guard at his shoulder. And make certain that storm isn't you. Merdad the Blue-Bearded. Sherzad paced before her bed that night, wearing a path in the cool white stone beneath her feet. Every step was a war between wrath and resentment, between pain and petulance, between the unmitigated hurt at being summarily dismissed and the unadulterated fury that it mattered so greatly to her. How dare he do that to me? Her strides lengthened as she twisted her hair over one shoulder. She had not even bothered to change out of her clothes from earlier that day. Her mantle was strewn across the floor in a pile of discarded damask. The emerald sirwal trousers and fitted top were not as comfortable as her nightclothes and shamla, but she could not be bothered with such things right now. Sherzad yanked the band of brilliant green stones from her brow and heaved it across the room. Strands of hair tugged free along with the gems, and she swore a pained oath at her own stupidity before collapsing to the marble in a heap of irate misery. Why did he treat me like that?
He didn't have to hurt me. I didn't mean to hurt him.
All day, she had hidden these thoughts from Despina, concealed these worries from the world.